The program is Lawrence and Taylor here with you on 590 WKZO. We're here through 5 o'clock, bringing you all sorts of talk from both perspectives. You know, you hear there are some talk shows that will give you only one side of it. There are other talk shows that will give you the other side of it. And we're brave enough to do both sides.
In one place at one time.
There you go. Sometimes we're talking at one time.
But,
yes. But we're brave enough to talk about some ideas. And you know, this last hour, we actually almost, not quite, but almost had one of those kumbaya moments.
It's the economy, stupid.
No, it just comes down to that. I think we can agree that, you know what, the economy's bad, we need to do something about it. Now, when it comes to what we do, there's the other thing, and that might take some other...
And I wasn't saying stupid.
Of course.
At you. I was paraphrasing.
Yes, sure. Yeah,
we had to get the explanation, because I was wondering over here.
Yeah, I figure that was probably just your opportunity to call me stupid without doing so. I get how that works.
Do it the sneaky way.
Of course.
Your comment just cost you the wonder producer for this hour.
Well, he said he wasn't going to do that anyway. So.
But I was thinking about it, and now I'm not.
Oh, great.
Of course. It's just another way to get out of his duties to Michael. But, you know, one of the things that we have as a duty to listeners, because we made a promise, and we got to keep it.
Now? Are we going to give away stuff now?
This is almost like the kid in the backseat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Or like the kid on Christmas Day.
Can we give stuff away now?
Can we open presents now? Yes, yeah, it's just like that. But in this case, yes.
Ooh. This is what I live for.
Of course. All right. Now, here's what we got for you. Don't call yet. Don't call yet. It's fine. But here's what we got for you. We got two tickets to see Pompeii. Mm-hmm. This is a brand new movie. It's out this weekend.
You'll be the first to see it.
So, and you'll be able to see it at Celebration Cinema. You know, I looked up this movie a little bit ago. I didn't know Kiefer Sutherland was in this.
Really?
But he's in this one.
Wow.
So he's got a role. That would be interesting if you're a fan of 24.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he is coming back later. But he's going to be on the big screen.
If he goes 3 days without sleeping, eating, or showering, let me know.
Well, I assume at some point in this movie he gets time off to take care of business, as it were.
Okay.
But we got two passes to that at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And also, we have for you a certificate. This is courtesy of Harding's Markets and Grand Traverse Pie Company, because they want to celebrate that they've gotten together to do something really cool, and that is Harding's is carrying Grand Traverse pie, which is, I mean, it's good stuff.
Oh, ooh, very good.
Top notch.
Very good pie, and they'd like you to have one, and you can go to Harding's and pick one up.
The cherry crumble has the Roger seal of approval.
The apple has my seal of approval.
I think pie just has my seal right there.
You're easy.
You know,
whatever.
Like,
put
whatever
it in front
it is,
of me, I'll eat it.
You know, if they got like a key lime or something like that, I'm on board with that. But cherry pie is good. Apple pie is good. About the only thing I won't go for is like pecan or mincemeat. That's just not my thing. But
what makes their pies special is they have fruit in it.
Yes.
It isn't a couple of cherries with a lot of that red goo.
Mm-hmm.
It's cherries with a little red goo, just enough to hold it together.
And if all you've got is just a couple of cherries and lots of goo, that's chemicals. That's not a pie.
Yeah.
But this is pie, because they know what they're doing with this. I mean, it's filled with fruit. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on and on, but instead, what we'd like to do is give this stuff away.
And we need a question from Michael, but he's already...
See, somebody called.
Yeah.
You know, they're jumping the gun going, all right, can I win? Can I win? We haven't even asked the question
yet. That's what they were wondering.
So, too early.
So here's you know, we probably should have just said, okay, what's your answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there was going to be a trivia question with this, so what's your answer? But no, here's what you do. You get, first of all, you call 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, either of those numbers. And then you get with Michael to answer this dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that he's come up with. I swear it's off the top of his head.
Yes, and this is not going to be as bad as what it was last Thursday with the Valentine's Day massacre. Okay, well,
that's a good way to lead into it.
Yes.
It's not going to be as bad as last time I did this.
This one will not be confusing. There's one answer for this.
Okay.
All right, here's the question. Who holds the record for the most medals won by an American athlete at the Winter Olympics?
Me! Oh, no.
Jeremy Lawrence!
Hey, Roger, you can't win.
and I wasn't right.
And he would be wrong anyway. Yeah. So you got to come up with the answer to that question. And you give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And if the phone line is busy, just keep trying because you might be able to get in and be a part of things on that. You know, I'm still thinking about that pie. I really am.
Oh, we have a text question.
Yes.
Is the Dowagiac Hardings one of the Hardings that will have Grand Traverse pies?
Good question. I have the answer for you. The Hardings on the list, there are two of them in Portage, one on Center Street, one on Westridge. There is Kalamazoo that's on Millwood. It says Hardings Millwood on Cork Street.
Oh, yeah.
You got Galesburg. And Richland. So those are any of those Harding's locations are where the pies are going to be.
You know, that location there on Cork Street, conveniently located to where the Lawrence household is.
Not too far away.
Yeah.
Not too far
away. Of course,
away.
It isn't too far to the Grand Traverse Pie Company.
Certainly not. Yeah. And it's actually not too far away from the one on Westridge as well. So
yeah.
Plenty of opportunities for me, but we're not talking about me.
But you can't win.
I can't win. And
I know.
You know, if I want to go pick up a pie, I got to pay for it. You know, they kind of like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But if you answer Michael's question correctly, mm-hmm. you don't have to pay. We do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because it's on us. We want to give you a pie. And, you know.
And tickets.
And, you know, the temptation was for me to take this pie and use it on Roger.
You were?
But,
you weren't going to give it to me. Well, you were going to give it to me. I get it.
The whole pie in the face gag. Yeah. It never gets old.
Yeah, for you.
But you know what? I decided, you know what? These pies are too good to do that with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
you put shaving cream when you're going to do a splat
pretty much,
on
you know,
somebody.
You
know,
you can have that old Disney movie kind of pie fight that they always did.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like they did that in every movie.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, here's the pie fight scene. You know, and who actually gets into a pie fight? I don't know, but they did it plenty back in those days.
Yes, so. Yes. But Michael's still taking calls. Mm-hmm. So his question, who has won the most gold medals at the Winter Olympics?
Among, I guess, American athletes? Is that what he said?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. We were just so fixated on pie.
Okay. He's clarifying.
He's still checking it out over there and going through people. See, so there's still the opportunity. He might very well have an opportunity to win.
Yeah.
Because he's still checking stuff out over there.
Right. So don't give up calling. 382-4280, 877-382-4280.
There you go. Okay. Now, here in a little bit, and we will get a winner from Michael here shortly, but here in a little bit, we're going to dig into minimum wage, because it's been on the minds of an awful lot of people. And there's a couple of different stories that we want to share with you. One from the state of Michigan, and the other, a report from the Congressional Budget Office. We'll talk about all of that as the program continues and let you know just exactly who wins that pie and those tickets. All that's coming up right here. Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZL. WKZO, Lawrence and Taylor here with you. And we're going to get to our discussion about minimum wage. Before we get to that, we're going to get to our discussion about who won And what the answer to this question was, because this turned out to be apparently pretty hard.
Yeah, apparently people were having a lot of trouble trying to find the answer online. They were Googling while I was talking to them on the phone about it.
You know, we got to have some rule that you can't be Googling when the phone answers. You have to have an answer then.
And then people tried to give me multiple guesses, too.
No.
Did anyone guess me? I just have to ask.
No.
Okay.
No one guessed you, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
I was hoping. See, I've never been to the Olympics, but it would have been nice.
Yeah.
So, all right. First of all, who was our winner?
Our winner was Dan from Three Rivers.
Okay.
Congratulations, Dan from Three Rivers.
And Dan from Dan from that place.
Easy for you to say.
it's Three Rivers. There you go. See, I have to not be in a hurry when I say that. But Dan had the correct answer to the question, which was...
Apollo Ohno.
Okay.
He won eight medals overall, 2 golds, 2 silvers, and 4 bronze.
All right. And quite the athlete as well. Yes. I can remember him from previous Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, there you go. So this was not... This wasn't controversial. This was just apparently difficult.
Yeah. Yes. And you're right. This was bad, but it wasn't as bad as last week's question.
It wasn't like a Valentine's Day massacre.
So you're improving.
I'm heading up the hill.
Yeah. There you go. This was less bad than last week.
Yes.
That's what you always want to hear. That was less bad. Yeah. It was not quite as pathetic. All right.
Wasn't as great. It could be better.
Well, I tell you what, we wanted to spend some time talking minimum wage. The news came out, and this was yesterday, the minimum wage proposal that there's a group wants to put on the ballot in Michigan, they've increased their proposal up to $10.10 per hour as part of what they'd like to get on the ballot. Now, in concert with that, we also wanted to mention, this news has come out that the CBO has talked about minimum wage. And the president has talked about 10-10 as well. And the CBO has projected out to say, all right, what would that do for employment? What would that do for incomes and that kind of thing? Well, they're saying that, yeah, that would be a boost for income for the low-wage workers that would have jobs. But...
About 900,000 workers would get above the poverty line, so they wouldn't be qualified for food stamps or any other help.
But here's the other problem. Apparently going to that would also reduce employment by 500,000 in the year 2016, compared to if Congress left the minimum wage right where it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to a report apparently released today, where they talk about that. And, you know, and I think to myself, all right, we know where minimum wage is, and I think there is some thought to let's set it, you know, do like they always did on those Ronco commercials, set it and forget it.
Yeah.
You know, and just go, okay, here's the minimum wage, index it to inflation, you know, it gets like a 2.8% uptick every year or whatever it may be.
The same uptick as Social Security gets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But basically just index it and be done with it. And I know a lot of politicians like to have it so that we can kind of wheel this thing out and beat it to death about every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think, let's solve this thing. Let's get this done so we can move on to some other things.
Yeah.
And in terms of minimum wage, I think, you know, that 10-10, you're talking about going from 7-something to 10-something. And if you're doing that and you've got a report that says that's going to reduce people that are actually employed by 500,000, all right, unemployment in the economy and jobs are a problem right now. I don't know that that's such a good idea to take it up to 10-10. Maybe we need to come up with something that's a little bit different than that if we're going to look at this at all.
Yeah. But
I was just waiting for. Yeah, okay.
This study doesn't look at something I'd like to see,
mm-hmm.
and how much it reduces dependence on assistance programs.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe financially we would be better off moving 900,000 people out of poverty at the expense of some jobs. But this study just gives us numbers, but it doesn't really give us the economic impact of this change.
Well, if you think about this, though, I mean, you talk about that 900,000 number, but let's talk about the 500,000 that are totally without work. And you're talking about, you know, if some of these are supporting families, that's a problem. Now, you know, I'm thinking to myself, is it a good idea in an economy where we've got the lowest labor force participation since like the 70s, and we've got unemployment, particularly in the state of Michigan, where it is, and yeah, unemployment's gone down in America, but you know, you're looking at the actual unemployment figures, they're not good. To me, any time where we go, okay, let's do something that's going to bring more people into unemployment, that to me is not a good thing to do. We need to look at ways that are going to legitimately bring jobs, higher paying jobs to this country, and not worry so much about this sort of thing, which, you know, it's going to raise prices on things, and you're going to see some people making more money, but other people making a whole lot less money.
But you've got to look at it not on an individual basis. We need to look at it from all points of view. And if we want to cut the number of people on food stamps, if we want to cut unemployment, we need to raise people out of poverty to do that, or we're leaving people dependent on those assistance programs that there's a movement to want to cut.
Well, how about if we just get some more high-paying jobs in the country? Maybe that'll lift them out of poverty. I think that might not be a bad idea right there. Let's find out what Andy has to say. Andy in Kalamazoo, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys, another great show. You know what? I'm really not that opposed, I suppose, to raising the minimum wage the more and more you talk about it. The thing that really gets under my skin is all the raises that the unions get that go right along with this.
Okay.
I just don't see the benefit of the UAW and other organizations profiting off the lowest paid individuals in the country.
Explain to me how that's linked, Andy.
Well, the last I knew, Raj, and it might not be the UAW. Please help me out a little bit. But I definitely read in multiple sources that union wages are attached to the minimum wage. Every time the minimum wage gets a bump, so does the wages for the union.
Hmm. I have to take your word for that. I was unaware of that.
I didn't know there were
minimum wage union jobs.
There are not minimum wage union jobs, but it's in their contract that the workers that work for the union will get a raise that coincides with minimum wage. In other words, it's considered, I would assume, basically a cost of living wage for them. You know, the guys who are making $17, $18, $19 an hour on a line, you know, I just can't see them getting another $2 or $3 an hour out of this.
Okay, Andy, we've got to run. We're up on a break. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, guys.
Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. We're talking about minimum wage. The CBO had some figures they put out there. Andy was on the phone just a little bit ago, made mention of that unions would benefit, or some union workers would benefit from a minimum wage increase. And we've got some more info.
Well, and we found that he is right. It's not the UAW. But there are some unions for low-wage workers, and they frequently have in their contract that their wages need to be 15% higher than the minimum wage. And so workers in the textile, the needle trades, industrial and textile employees, for instance, would get a raise simply because the minimum wage went up.
Mm-hmm.
But those were workers who were making within 15% of the minimum wage, which certainly wouldn't be your UAW worker. But there are the retail, wholesale, and chain store employees union local would automatically have a wage increase. So
and I think,
there are some unions that have that in their contract.
And I think the article did mention there was like a local SEIU or
yes.
something like that that
yep.
was a part of that as well.
Yeah.
But going over this, you know, and they and the CBO did run some numbers that said, all right, well, what if we just took it up to $9 per hour instead of the 10-10 figure? Well, the numbers were a little bit better. They're saying 100,000 fewer jobs by 2016. They're saying 300,000 people would rise out of poverty under that option. I still am just bothered by the idea of let's saying, okay, let's cut all these people that are working at the expense of these people over here. I kind of think maybe we're not looking at the right area. Maybe we're not looking at areas to say, okay, how do we get higher paying stuff to come to America? How do we get higher paying jobs to take place and get some of these employers to invest a little bit more? What are the things we do instead of just saying, all right, well, we'll just jack up the minimum wage because you're going to see some people lose jobs over that. And I don't think that's a good thing no matter what you do.
Well, I think it comes down to what your goal is with raising the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to raise people out of poverty so they're not using government assistance programs, then you would look at it a different way than if you want to see everybody having a job. And so I'm thinking it depends on what your goals were. My goal would be to reduce the amount of money in the food stamp program by getting people to wages where they aren't eligible for food stamps anymore. As long as we leave the minimum wage low enough that if you're getting the minimum wage, you're eligible for government assistance programs, those programs have a life of their own.
But here's the other part of it, too, though. I mean, if you look at this and you say 500,000 people would be out of work, and you don't want to say all of those people because we know that, you know, as we've studied minimum wage, there's an awful lot of people that are working this as just sort of a part-time deal while they go to school or that kind of thing. And you know, we've got the numbers to say, what was it, 0.8% over the age of 25 are actually making minimum wage. So, you know, what kind of impact that would that have on government programs? We don't know. We really don't know. But I think the bottom line is instead of looking at something and going, all right, well, let's raise the minimum wage, which we know if that happens, businesses are going to have to pay for it. And they're going to pay for it either by cutting people out of their jobs or by raising prices on things. And if you go raising prices on things, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of let's have some people make more money so they can afford stuff. If prices are going to go up on all this stuff, then they can't afford it anymore, and we're right back where we started.
And
I
so
think instead, we come up with ways to get higher-paying jobs so that people going, all right, I'm making minimum wage, but, you know, there's this company over here hiring, and you know what? I'm going to apply for this because I'll be better off if I go get a job over there. You know, and I think that's what we need to do is find ways so that the companies will hire people at higher wages.
And a long-term goal, that is certainly a good one. Who could argue with it?
Mm-hmm.
But if your goal is to reduce our government's expense in these programs that are helping low-income people, you can't cut those programs back until we have some jobs at these higher wages. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
And who said in this case you can't have your cake and eat it too? You know, because if you've got people, you got higher-paying jobs, then suddenly those programs are not going to have as many people on them. You're doing both at the same time. You're raising wages and you're cutting people off the programs that don't need it anymore. And I think, you know, you talk about, okay, long term, yeah, but let's look at, I mean, you look at the results we had back in the 80s. One of the things that happened was Ronald Reagan got in office, taxes were lowered, and guess what? In a couple of years, we had an economy that was roaring back to life. Jobs were everywhere. Lots of prosperity. It can happen in pretty short order.
But he raised taxes 12 different times, so saying he just came in and cut taxes. He worked more deals with Tip O'Neill than you can shake a stick at. And in the last half of his presidency, the economy went to hell.
Really?
Yeah.
What 80s did you live through? I remember those 80s. Things were pretty good all the way around. I mean, to be honest, if I were to given the choice between the economy then versus now, I think I know what I would choose, and now is not it. You know, and let's look at the way the taxes were lowered. Look at the top tax rate. It was brought down from what? I think it was like 77% or something like that to something a good bit more sensible. You saw an awful lot of investment in the economy after that. Jobs started showing up. And I think you see right there a plan that says, all right, here's the way to do it. It's not necessarily saying, well, let's raise the minimum wage and raise costs on everything and this and that and the other, and 500,000 people lose their jobs. It's, you know what? Let's invest in this economy, get it roaring again, and get some jobs out there that people will make a lot of money and want to stay at.
So you're comfortable with the number of people who are collecting food stamps and raising people out of poverty is not a short-term goal for you. It's a long-term goal as we bring in these better-paying jobs.
What's your definition of long-term? In the 80s, it only took a couple of years.
Well,
and a couple of years, yeah, I mean, that would be reasonable,
okay.
I think, in comparison to that. You've got to look at a long-term, and look at the long-term effects of what happened in the 80s. We had a pretty decent economy through the 80s, through the 90s. Didn't really crash hard until
George Bush.
The end of his term.
Yeah.
So, you know, it went quite a while. Let's talk to Dan in Three Rivers. He's standing by on the line. Dan, welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. A couple of comments. Jeremy, I understand what you're trying to say, that, yeah, we need to get more jobs going, so on and so forth. But the problem you've got there is that you can't just ask companies to open up jobs or to start doing more so they have more jobs. You can't ask them to raise the wages because you've got stockholders in most companies that are saying, we want to make a profit. And the pressure is on the CEO and everybody else, the financial officers and everybody else to try to pay a profit to the stockholders. So that's not, and that's the way our country is run, you know. So that's not a problem, but you do have trouble paying higher wages as long as the stockholders are there. The other thing is, you guys have been talking about this for a long time now. Every day this comes up, and I have never felt that minimum wage was meant to be a living wage. And Roger, I know you're going to jump all over me for this, but I'm sorry. I think minimum wage was originally meant to be a base for some of the, dare I say, the kids that come out of high school and so on and so forth that need a job in the interim. It wasn't meant to be the wage that you would raise a family on. I don't think it was ever intended that anybody would be able to raise a family on $7 and some change. So
So the food stamp program and other programs like that are meant to help these people. If it isn't a living wage, then there's the safety net for people who are trying to support a family on a minimum wage job. And so you're comfortable with having programs like the food stamp program to help those people making less than a living wage?
No. You always keep coming back to saying that the same thing there, and I disagree with that. This was never meant to be a living wage, and you keep calling it a living wage. I don't think that's ever what it was intended to be.
But what I'm saying is, we need to get people out of poverty, so they no longer qualify for these government programs. And you're saying that, no, we can't, we shouldn't raise the minimum wage to make them transition out of poverty. We just need to have programs like food stamps so they can keep their lives together at those low wages.
I never said that, Roger. You're the one that keeps throwing the food stamp thing in there, not me.
Well, if you give people a poverty wage, how do you keep them from using the programs targeted at people in poverty?
Well, first of all, you are taking it for granted, or at least you are assuming that there are no jobs out there at which they could make a larger wage than the $7 and change. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there are jobs out there, but I'm going to get into trouble here, but too many people are content to do what they are doing, and they don't want to scrap. They don't want to pull themselves up. And I apologize to anybody that takes offense at that, but that's the way I feel.
So the millions of people who are unemployed or underemployed now, they're all slackers and people who just lack motivation in your mind.
Roger, I can't talk to you. You know that.
I'm having a hard time talking to you, too.
I know. I understand that. I understand that. We're going to disagree for a long time. But I guess I've said what I needed to say, and if there's somebody else, let them talk.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you for
Dan,
your time.
Appreciate your call. You know, he was at least equal opportunity there. He took both of us to task. So, you know, some people do that from time to time. Let's head over to Jeff from Richland. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. How you doing today?
We're good.
Yeah.
All right. I don't hear any arguments, so... Well,
not so far.
No. We're just peacefully disagreeing.
We've got 8 or 9 minutes left.
Not as bad as yesterday's show. You guys were at each other's throats. So, I got to agree. I hate to say it, but I got to agree with Jeremy on this one as far as getting higher wage jobs in the community here, if at all possible. The thing about higher wage jobs is it pulls everybody up. You know, the saddest day for the Upjohn company there was when GM came to town, because now they got some competition that are paying higher wage jobs, and, you know, they were forced to keep their people. They were forced to pay a higher wage. So, you know, if we can do that, that would be great. If you track the minimum wage versus the cost of living increases, or the cost of living, if that would have followed, I've been told that it would be anywhere between $17 and $20 an hour would be minimum wage if it tracked the cost of living increase.
Okay, Jeff, we're on top of a break. Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks.
Final segment together, Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZL. You know, it's 40 degrees outside. I can't get over it.
Balmy.
But we've got an important topic Jeremy. Stay on task.
We do, and
we're talking pizza.
We have very little time here. Justice Scalia, and when the Supreme Court justices sound off on anything, it always gets interest here. He has sounded off on Chicago-style pizza, saying it shouldn't be called pizza. Says it's tasty, but not real pizza. Of course, Scalia is from New York.
Yeah.
So, you know, he tends to like the
stuff you
fold. You
ever see how they eat pizza?
No, they fold it over. No, I get that.
You don't eat pizza like that.
That's just uncouth. Yeah. Pigs eat pizza by folding it over and stuffing it into their mouth.
Yeah, I want to enjoy my pizza.
Yeah, with a fork.
Yeah.
On a plate, like a civilized person.
You know what? I'll take either one, because you know what? It's pizza. I don't think we can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.